today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Delta is dropping 10 cities from its schedule. Norwegian Cruise Line says its future is in substantial doubt. And the Sleazebag Airline Award goes to... Details next in the news.
At 5:20, we make you a smarter traveler as we talk to Charlie Leoka, the man with Travelers United, the organization that fights every day for travelers in Washington, D.C. Charlie has important COVID-19 updates.
In the second half of our Mother's Day show, we invite you to call in and share your favorite memory of traveling with your mom. Your mom, your mother-in-law, anybody who was a mother to you along life's road. Where did you go and why was it special? We have prizes for callers starting at 5:35.
We close the show today with a salute to an old radio friend who passed recently, Lou Coppola.
It's Mother's Day, the tail end of National Teachers Week, and a beautiful late Sunday afternoon in Sacramento. Live and socially distanced all over the town, welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guide.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
All I want and man.
I come from a la-la-la-la.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK at our 5 o'clock time. I thought we might want to start off at the beginning of the show by letting folks know that we're moving back to 3 o'clock come next Sunday. But right now, I want to say happy Mother's Day. This is the Mother's Day edition of the Travel Guys. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman, and we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I hope you've had so far a wonderful Mother's Day, as best as it can be. Probably the most unusual Mother's Day that anyone's currently has had in their lifetime.
Yeah, at least they got the places open for curbside service, the florists open and stuff like that, because, man, they were on TV. It looked like they were selling flowers like crazy yesterday.
I would imagine. Yeah. You know, my mom passed some years ago, but my wife's mom and stepdad are still around, and her favorite thing is See's Candy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, you know, See's Candy is closed. Mm-hmm. In fact, around Easter time, See's Candy's factory was closed. So there wasn't any of those pinky egg things and so forth. However, the factory got back open, and we were actually able to order some See's Candy for Mama for Mother's Day. And we even got a couple of those Easter chocolate egg things thrown in with it.
So wow, how cool was that? I was down at Capitol Park yesterday morning. There's we created a little memorial for my mom who passed a couple years ago in the park there. And she always loved roses in the Rose Garden. So there's a little plaque on one of the monuments there in the Rose Garden. And it was a beautiful day yesterday morning downtown. So went down and kind of feels like mom's spirit lives in with the roses there at Capitol Park. She was a state worker for many years and loved those gardens around Capitol Park. So it was fun to go down there. I hope that you have had the opportunity to spend some time with your mom, or maybe have gone down memory lane like Tom and I have. And as you heard in the headlines, when we get a little bit later on in the program, we're going to ask you to call in. I've got a $100 gift card for Ruth Chris Steakhouse and $50 in gift cards from Chili's. So we'll, in the second half of the program, we'll take some of your calls. Be thinking about your favorite travel memory, some place that you went with mom or somebody who acted as your mom, somebody who mothered you along the way. Good Lord, there was a long string of those people for me, Tom. And how impressive that we just finished National Teachers Week. And without the teachers, I mean, teachers are just, you know, I'm certain that heaven is full of teachers. I'm pretty much certain of that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of people, and it's been mentioned in many occasions throughout the week since it was We were saluting the teachers as the parents that were stuck home with their children over this long stretch of time have gained an appreciation for teachers who spend all day, every day with children. And they're going, my God, these people are saints. They are the cream of the crop. So a salute to them, and a salute to all the moms, and a salute to all of our first responders, all of those people that, you know, put the groceries in the back of your car or help you with all the things that you can't do on your own.
Everybody, under the circumstances. Everybody who works so the system will keep going. Hey, Tom, here's my favorite. Speaking of kids being at home, it's my favorite COVID-19. You know, there's a lot of jokes floating around, which is good because, you know, we need to laugh at some point in time because otherwise you just cry all day. And so this one has to do with this is hashtag homeschool. If you see my kids locked outside today, mind your business. We're having a fire drill.
That's great.
That was kind of cool. We best get to the travel news here, buddy.
Let's do it. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we do the travel news. Elise? And with the latest in the travel news, and I imagine there's probably not a lot, here's Mark.
Well, there's not too much, but some of it's kind of fun. Frontier Airlines, the sleazy, low-fare, high-fee carrier, hope to sell social separation for the low price of $39. See, here was the plan. They were going to allow you to buy the empty middle seat for prices starting at $39 a passenger. The so-called More Room program was aimed at selling both aisle and window customers the middle seat. So they would actually sell you the middle seat for $39 to keep it open, and then they would sell the guy on the other side of you the same seat. It would have been a nifty financial scam, considering that flight loads are running about 25%, and Frontier's homepage is promoting one-way fares as low as $21. It didn't last too long, however. Frontier was hammered in a Senate hearing this last week. The airline then quickly backed off the plan, saying they were shocked to learn that anyone thought they were trying to profit off of a pandemic. Selling the middle seat to people for
twice.
Yeah. I mean, that takes cojones. Really and truly, you have to hand it to them. Listen, we talk about the value of points and miles and stuff like that on a program from time to time, and a lot of people really, really keep track of such things. Let me tell you, one of the ways that Marriott and Hilton have covered their gap in cash flow with the COVID-19 is they have sold huge amounts of points from their programs to American Express. We're talking about hundreds of millions of points. So what's going to happen is American Express is going to leverage those points to get dollars that they're not getting from the hotel carriers. And what's going to happen is, I mean, Hilton points are already worth, I mean, you've got to have a wheelbarrow full of them to get a candy bar. But this is going to happen a lot. So we are always telling people, if you've got points and miles and stuff like that, you can't spend them right now because nobody's going anywhere. But think about spending them afterwards, especially if they offer some special deals. Because, again, those things aren't worth anything if the company that owns them goes out of business or if they devalue the points by half. Those points you were sitting on suddenly are not worth nearly as much as they were before. JetBlue asked for exemptions to knock 16 cities off of its flight route, mostly hub cities of other airlines. Delta Airlines has knocked 10 cities out of their flight route, mostly airports that are located close to others. Example being, they're not going to fly to Chicago Midway. They're not going to fly to Oakland. They're not going to fly to Burbank or Long Beach. So airports that are close to other airports where they have service. Delta says they've cut their flights by 85% and their flight occupancy is about 30% on each flight. The Shakespeare Festival for 2020 in Lake Tahoe has been canceled. Kind of a sad note as everything falls. Nevada casinos are reading rules for reopening. Can you imagine that, Tom? Do you think people are really going to go back into casinos right away?
You know, I've seen a couple of stories as to what they're thinking about doing. No more than two or three people at a blackjack table. Every other slot machine is turned off, and so forth. You know, it's big money. People that enjoy gambling will probably take advantage of it, even if it's sparse.
I guess so.
You know, you might have to make reservations for a slot machine. But yeah, you know, I mean,
some
it is
Vegas,
what it is.
Some Vegas Strip resorts have said they're aiming to be open at least partially by Memorial Day, if allowed by the state. Norwegian Cruise Lines on Tuesday cried poor, said they didn't know if they were going to make it through the end of the year. On Wednesday, they raised about $2 billion in stock and other debt offerings, say that they will now they have enough funds to last them for 12 months. But once again, it points out something that we were just talking about with the points and stuff like that. Suppose you've taken a voucher on a cruise line and suddenly the cruise line isn't there. So that's something to think about when these folks are offering you vouchers and stuff, especially right now. What's the financial status and will they still be around when it comes time to use them? Lyft is telling you that you need to wear a mask if you're going to use a Lyft. If you're going to an airport, almost every airline is now requiring face masks at the ticket counter or on the plane. So if you are one of those few people who are traveling by airplane in the next few weeks, in fact, I'm going to suggest you it's going to be pretty standard practice until there's a vaccination or some type of treatment for the virus, you need to take a mask. So if you are traveling from the airport, make sure that you are wearing a mask. And that is your travel news for today.
Are you a good mask wearer, Mark?
I don't like them. I haven't found the right one.
Well, who does?
I haven't found the right one yet, so I'm experimenting with different ones.
Well, by the time you find one you like, you probably won't need it anymore. I'm not really very fussy. I will wear anything that protects me from the germs, and I am horrified when we do this a lot. We'll do food pickup or we'll do e-cart or whatever, and a good percentage of the time people will wear them. But I'm still horrified when somebody comes out of a restaurant or whatever with my bag of order, and they have no gloves and they have no face mask, and I'm one of those guys, the guy that will go home and will call them up and tattletale,
yeah,
and say, look, you know, you need to do better.
Well, okay. See, you're protecting both of us. Hey, quick note here from United Airlines, quick quote. They said some days they have more pilots than passengers.
Well, there you go.
That can't be good.
Coming up after the break, Charlie Leoka, the man with Travelers United, joins us. We're going to talk about the COVID-19 updates. That's next.
Amarillo by morning.
Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys, here with you, here to make you a smarter traveler. By the way, our special guests that we speak with here on our program, you can find links to their websites at travelguysradio.com. It's been a while since we talked with Charlie from Travelers United, one of our super travel advocacy websites and people that do a lot for those of us that want to get out and travel. Mark, introduce Charlie and let's see what we got going on today.
Charlie Leoka is the president and co-founder of Travelers United, which I'm proud to be a member of, and he's been a guest here on the Travel Guys before. He is a man in Washington, D.C. who looks out for the little guy, tries to make sure that airlines don't screw us any more than they do. And when they do screw us, Charlie's there to kind of try to put a halt to things if he can. Is that a pretty good description, Charlie?
Yeah, that's a good description. I mean, a case in point only happened about 2.5 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, where the airlines were all basically saying that they're not going to refund airfares when they canceled their flight. And the two really bad airlines there were United and JetBlue. And we went to the Department of Transportation, spoke with them and said, hey, how about enforcing the law? And so they did. And they came out with a very clear statement that says, if a flight is canceled, you get all your airfare back as well as any ancillary fees. And they took it a step further, where they also said, if you have already flim-flammed someone, they don't quite use that language, into taking a credit, you have to tell the people that you got to take the credit that they can actually get cash back and get a full refund. So that was one of our real, that was a real victory for us just during this coronavirus operation.
It was a huge victory. And I will tell you, Charlie, about 4 days after you brought that all up, I had an occasion to have to call United Airlines and cancel a reservation. And instead of getting the song and dance and look over here at the bright lights, sir, and take the voucher, I was, when I said I'd like to have a refund, I got no pushback at all.
Well, that's really good. But United is still a problem we're having, an airline that we're having problems with. And that what they're doing now is they're telling passengers that they need to cancel their flights by a certain day. Otherwise, they're going to be forced to take a credit. It's just a flat out lie. Anytime the airline cancels a flight, you can always get a full refund back. We don't care what they say about time limits or anything. According to DOT rules and according to the regulations, they have to be able to help us out.
The airlines are playing a game right now where they don't cancel the flights till the very last minute. So you have to kind of sit there and watch it, keep constantly logging on to see if your flight's been canceled before you cancel your own flight, because obviously at some point they'll have to cancel it. But in some cases, we've had people tell us airlines are not canceling flights until 24, 36 hours before departure.
That's true. And it's really a shame when we have to play a game of chicken with our airlines just to keep our money. However, if you're patient, you can still beat them at their own game.
Charlie, what's it going to take to get people on airplanes again?
Well, I think that we had the first step when they said that they're going to require everybody to wear face masks. Now, in terms of face masks, we do have a problem in that on a 6-hour, 4-hour, 3-hour flight, people like to take their face masks off so they can eat. So the airlines haven't quite figured that part out yet, but somewhere we'll get into that situation. I'm suggesting that you bring your own face mask that you're used to and you might find comfortable or more comfortable than another one. Otherwise, the airlines will give you face masks. The next thing that we should do is, in order to let you know that the airline really wants your business, they should also probably give you a couple of disinfectant towels. And you can go down when you sit down at your seat, you can clean off the tray table, clean off the armrests and so on, and then use one of the towelettes to go ahead and clean your own hands. And that allows you, even though the airlines now are really doing a super job in terms of cleaning the planes overnight, the minute they have that first flight, you have to be careful. And that this would come in and this would let the passengers know that the airline really means business. The third thing that I'm recommending is that the flight attendants, during their operations where they tell you how to click your seatbelt together, should also explain the air circulation system on board a plane. Because a lot of people think that if they cough or just if they breathe, all the air going around just stays in the airplane. And it really doesn't. The air is filtered through HEPA filters, the same things that hospitals face. And the entire cabin air is totally changed every 2 to 3 minutes. So it's actually sometimes even cleaner and fewer germs than you find in some office buildings. And then the final thing that I'd like to see happen, and it's already started to happen up near Seattle, is that all passengers should have their temperatures taken before boarding the aircraft. We don't know where this is going to be done, whether it's going to be done at the jetways or whether TSA might start doing it. But it's one of those suggestions which we've made, and we're trying to get people to do to go ahead and do that.
We're talking with Charlie Leoka, who is president and co-founder of Travelers United. Tom, you're up.
Yeah, Charlie, we're talking about, you know, face masks for both the flight attendants and the passengers and so forth. What about the seating arrangement? Do you feel that for a period of time they're going to sell fewer seats, half a plane full? I mean, obviously, even if I'm on the window and you're on the aisle, you're still closer than 6 feet, and certainly a lot closer if you're sitting next to me. What do you see? What do you anticipate? Are we just going to go ahead and have masks and then just be packed in as usual?
Well, that may happen. And I have seen some pictures of very packed flights, let's say going down an American Airlines flight. They got some good photos of that going from New York City, I believe, down to Charlotte, where it then connected and everybody got split up. I don't know what happened after that. However, I think that right now, some airlines like Delta is saying that they're going to block off the middle seat no matter what. And they're just going to cut down the number of seats that they can put on board, passengers that they can put on board the planes. They're cutting their first class cabinet down by 50% and their coach cabinets down by 60%. So that's already a good change. And then if we look at Southwest, Southwest Airlines is only selling up to one half of the seats on every plane. And that's going to go on probably until we come up with some sort of a good, let's say, solution to the coronavirus, or we have actual vaccine. Then the other airlines, such as American and United, they'll say they only will commit to saying, well, they'll do it as much as they can. So we really don't have anything happening there.
If the airlines fly at 50% capacity, that isn't going to be a viable business model for very long.
No, it's not. And so the masks that everybody are wearing, that's kind of taking the place of the social distancing. And they're going to still have people distancing a little bit. In terms of the Delta, they're going to have them instead of windows, all window seats. It'll be window aisle kind of thing. So I think that we're going to find out how the whole situation works. But even with fewer passengers flying, I think initially we're not going to see a big increase in airfares, because lower airfares are the elixir that make people want to come travel. And so they're going to keep doing it. And once we have some sort of a viable vaccine or some sort of good medication to handle the coronavirus, then we'll start to see air travel really take off.
Charlie, before I let you go today, I want to give you an opportunity to tell people just a little bit about what Travelers United is. We have a link at travelguysradio.com to your website. But tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, we are now with the largest travel advocacy group in Washington, and we advocate for consumers who travel. We deal with hotels. We also deal with airfares and so on. And we work with Congress. We try to get bills passed. We work with the Department of Transportation, trying to get regulatory changes made. And we also have been working with a lot of the other departments and the airlines themselves, trying to do things better for consumers. And so that's our main thing that we do. And anytime you can help us out right now, we really can use the help.
Well, and if you're someone who travels and occasionally you run into situations that kind of puzzle you and stuff like that, and you'd like to make a contribution to the cause, Charlie is the group of folks who are always in there fighting for you, just as he said about the refunds that came up over this coronavirus thing. And they were really right there, and they literally have saved people, I'd like to think, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars that airlines would have kept, but that people have now gotten as cash refunds. So good job on that, Charlie. Thank you for your time today. Remember, you can go to travelguysradio.com. There's a link there to Travelers United that will help you learn more about what it is they do. Thanks again, Charlie, for being generous with your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Always enjoy Charlie. So well-spoken and really a sharp guy. I really appreciate having somebody like him working for us in Washington, D.C.
After the news, we are going to take your calls. We're going to talk about travel with your mom. There is a $100 gift card for the person who has the best story. 916-921-1530 or 800-834-1530. See you after the break.
Hey there, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys here on KFBK. A couple of pieces of business. First of all, I want to remind folks that we will be back to 3 p.m. for the Travel Guys radio program on a weekly basis, as long as the creek don't rise and the president don't need to get on the radio. So 3 o'clock starting next week, back to our normally scheduled time. Also, travelguysradio.com, place to go for podcasts and other great travel tips that you can find there day in and day out.
If you're we're looking for callers, I think there's a line open at 921-1530. That's 916-921-1530 or 800-834-1530. We'll take about 10 minutes here and take some of your calls. Travels, memorable travels with mom. And we have a $100 Ruth Chris gift card and a couple of cards from Chili's here to give as prizes. So, Thomas, take it away.
All right. Let's talk to Rick. Rick, happy Mother's Day. How you doing, my friend? Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, thank you, Tom. I'm very good on a wonderful day here in the Sacramento area.
There you go. How have you been celebrating Mother's Day today?
Well, it's very quiet in that we're stuck at home, but we had a FaceTime call with my wife's mom on Friday, where she is in assisted living, and she can't go out, and we can't go in. So we did spend time with her. It was very nice. It's also my wife's birthday today, and so we're able to spend that together.
Cool. Well, Rick, tell us a story about traveling with your mom that's memorable to you, my friend.
Well, this was memorable to me for both because of my mom and because of the company that we sailed with down the Ohio River in 1999 from Pittsburgh to Cincinnati. And it was especially nice for Mom because she was scheduled to go with Dad, and at the last minute he couldn't go. She invited me, and we had a wonderful time during the day on the boat. We'd get off the boat and walk around for a little while with Mom and let her see some of the Midwest sights. And then she, of course, would get tired. And so I'd take her back to the boat, and then I could go back out and explore. And then in the evening, we'd have dinner and talk, and then she would go to bed, and I would go back down and sit with the piano player in the bar on the ship, and it was just a great time. But the additional piece for me was I discovered that the steamboat we were on, it was a relatively new ship, was owned by the same company that bought the Delta Queen in 1947 and sailed it through the Panama Canal up to the Mississippi River, where it then spent decades afterward flying up and down the waters until it was put out of service by politics and federal law about a dozen years ago.
Sounds like an interesting trip down the river, Rick. Who else have we got next, Tom, with Mother's things there?
We've got Kim on the line. Hi, Kim. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi.
What story do you have about spending a special travel with your mother over the years, Kim?
Well, my story is from 2002. And I had the opportunity to go with my mom to Hawaii and spend 2 weeks with her on the Big Island. And what was memorable for me was my mom and I are born 2 days apart, and so we were both able to celebrate our birthdays on the island of Hawaii, which is our absolute favorite place in the world. So that's my fond memory of traveling with my mom.
Oh, outstanding, Kim. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. We appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day. Let's talk to Josh from Sacramento. Josh, welcome to the Travel Guys, and we're anxious to hear your memory of travel with your mom. When was it, and where did you go?
Hi, how are you doing? Love the show. It was a few years back. I can't beat that story. It was pretty interesting about the Delta King, but we were on a small trip camping, me, my mom, my dad, and my brother. And bless her soul, me and my brother wanted some drink of her soda, and that time they had 16-ounce bottles. I don't remember those. So she lovingly passed the soda around, and we gave it back, and she was irritated because we drank too much. But the funny thing is, when she took her drink, she accidentally drank a fly with it. So talk about karma. That karma came back right then and there. But that's a little memory that I have. It was kind of funny.
Where were you camping at, Josh? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I was quite young. I was maybe 6 to 8. But probably Ice House or something. You ever heard of the Ice House?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great spot. I've been going there for years. But at that time, I probably was going there, too. But, yeah, my dad was in an old Dodge van with those funny looking headlights in the front. Looks like they have a eyeball and a light, you know what I mean? I forgot what it was, but old man. I remember those days.
Thanks, Josh.
Outstanding. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for your call. Thomas, before you take the next caller here, I have a quick mom travel story. Actually, I was not with mom on this. We get to New York City, and I'm already in New York City. One of my tour directors brought a group there, and this was mom's chance to go to New York City and see Broadway shows. So Scott tells a story about how he got to Denver, changed planes. They get back on the plane to go to LaGuardia Airport, and the plane's getting ready to close the door, and the flight attendant comes on and says, excuse me, but is Jean Hayes on the plane? Jean Hayes. Well, my mom had changed her name back to her maiden name, and Scott realized all of a sudden, he says, oh, my God, that's Mark's mother. And so they closed the door, and Scott never did know if my mother got on the plane or not. She did, actually, and arrived in New York okay. But he said he was a little bit concerned about what he was going to do when he got to New York City and going to explain to the man who owned the company, his boss, that he'd left his boss's mother in the Denver airport. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Back to the phones. We got somebody else there?
Well, we got Clayton on the line. Clayton, welcome to the Travel Guys. We've heard a lot about your mom. And I bet you there's at least one really, really good story that you'd like to share with us.
Absolutely. And by the way, I'm not here for the contest, but I wanted to tell my favorite story about my mom, who most everybody knows is called Toot. Way, way back in 1994, I was doing a fall foliage trip to the Appalachian Mountains. We were flying into Atlanta, spending the first night there, and then driving up. And our plane was delayed, and it was delayed, and it was delayed again. We weren't going to be into the hotel until about 9 o'clock at night. So I called mom and I was like, mom, you've got to get some food together and you've got to go to the hotel and help me entertain my group. So with very short notice, she had just baked a big, hot, fresh prune cake and she grabbed a gallon of milk and came to the hotel. So
wow.
Mom's Toots prune cake has become kind
the
of
prune,
regionally
yeah.
famous since then. And to keep that tradition going, every trip that's ever visited Georgia for the last 25 years gets a prune cake party.
You have to understand around yeah. sports leisure vacations, Toot, that Clayton's mom, her prune cake is somewhat legendary. If you haven't been to Carolinas and had Toot's prune cake, you really haven't seen the world yet.
That's it. Well, you got to have some prune cake.
Well, thanks for sharing, Clayton. That was a lot of fun. I can tell that you and your mom have a special relationship, and she's a special gal. I have a short one.
Okay.
I remember, I traveled mostly with my mom and dad together. We grew up in Modesto, and my mom's lived in Redlands, California, and in Yucaipa down south. And occasionally, my dad didn't want to go, but mom wanted to go see the family. So that she would go down to the Greyhound bus station and hop on a bus to go to Redlands. Now, if you ride the bus, you know the bus stops a lot and picks up people all along between here and Southern California. And it's probably, like 9. And I was always in love the bus trips because the bus stops had pinball machines. So when you were waiting, in between buses, sometimes you had to get off. So I'd get off and I'd get on the pinball machine. And I remember one time I found this pinball machine and I was racking up games, man. I was winning games. You could hear that little pop sound every time you'd win a game. And so I'd racked up a half a dozen games. And all of a sudden there was a hand on my shoulder. And it was my mom saying, it's time to get on the bus. And I'm going, it's time for me to play 6 more games. And so you can imagine how that particular battle ended. Is 6 games were left behind for somebody else to play. And
oh, what a tragedy.
I know. On
I mean, that's
just Redlands,
that's a sad story. I mean,
it's like
6 free games.
Like leaving money behind.
And plus, I mean, you know how hard those free games are to get on a pinball machine?
Tell me about
Mom
it.
Mom didn't understand. Wasn't there a later bus?
I didn't go there. Anyway, there you go. So we want to thank Rick and Kim and Josh and, of course, Clayton for calling in and sharing their stories with us.
Our crack team of judges here will make a decision as to who the prizes go to during the break, and we will come back. You know, Tom, this past week was National Teachers Week, and I grew up in a single parent family. It was just mom and the three kids. And she was always working and trying to take care of us. So she didn't have a whole lot of time, you know, for some of those things and those extra things. And teachers have always been of incredibly great value to me. I made that comment in the morning that, you know, heaven is in the beginning of the show, that heaven is probably full of teachers. But I remember the third grade teacher who came out to my Little League game one time because I was going to be pitching. You see, all of the pitchers had gone on vacation, and they had to pick one kid to pitch against the worst team in the league. And I think I lasted three innings. I hit one kid three times. And
how could you hit the same kid three times?
Well, every time he came up, I hit him with the pitch. But my teacher was in the stands, and here I am all these years later, remembering that the teacher that loaned you the lunch money, you know, when you left yours at home,
or
filled in as your mom on lots of situations. Teachers, I think, are incredibly, incredibly important people. And that was one thing about school, you know, the kids losing the last weeks of school was that not only did they lose the opportunity to learn, but they lost the opportunity to close out the year with what in some cases are truly remarkable people.
There you go. Well, I come from a family of teachers. My brother, his daughter, my mom ran the cafeteria, and my dad was the head custodian. So when I went to high school, my dad was there still cleaning up after me, and my mom was feeding me.
Wow.
And that's God's truth.
Wow. I can remember growing up, and you know, there were dollars were tight a lot of times, and mom had to make decisions that. I can remember distinctly one time there was a Boy Scout camp out. It was $3 to go on the camp out. And it was about Tuesday or Wednesday, and the money was due on Friday. And mom came home from work, and she had this huge run in her pantyhose. And, you know, for a lady, that was kind of a bad thing and to you know, have to wear like that. And there was $3 in the house, and needless to say, the money went for the Boy Scout camp out, and mom wore the pantyhose with a run in them for, you know, another week until payday or something like that. Just little things like that, you know, little things that you and things that you appreciate if you had the opportunity to maybe grow up in a home where family was really important, especially a single parent home where mom had to be, you know, both parents and put out all the fires at once. And sometimes you don't realize until a little bit later on in life what an amazing job that your mother or your father or whomever filled in and got you to the finish line. What an amazing job that they did.
You know, if you're just tuning in or you just tuned in the last few minutes and you're going, what am I listening to? This is Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel guys, travel and entertainment. Hopefully this entertained you and brought a smile to your face somewhere along the line. When it's COVID-19, this is what you get on a travel show, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mark, that's it for our calls for now.
Okay.
It's going to take a break, and then we're going to spend a few minutes and talk about somebody that I would imagine a lot of people that listen to this show, or if you've been in Sacramento for any length of time, you knew this gentleman, as we you know, share a little bit of a tribute to the Sacramento's legendary Lou Coppola.
And also, we'll have a piece of music for you here coming back out of the break. Remember, Tom, you remember Randy Newman, the guy who did the song
sure.
Short People? And You've Got a Friend in Me, kind of some of those novelty songs. Well, Randy did us a new song for public radio, and it's called Stay Away From Me. Has to do with the virus. We have a short clip for you coming out of the break. Randy Newman right here with the Travel Guys.
Stay away from me. Yeah, but keep your distance, please. Stay away from me.
What
a
kind.
Yeah. Randy Newman with he wrote this song for PBS, Stay Away From Me. You can find it online and listen to the whole thing. And if you're under like 40 years old, you're probably like, who in the hell is Randy Newman? But if you're over 40 years old, why then you'll remember the song Short People and all of those wonderful things. Let's see. Next week, we go back to 3 o'clock. The Travel Guys.
Yes, we do.
We evacuated that area about a month or so ago, so the president could have, you know, we didn't want to talk over the top of the president because it would be confusing to people. So we moved down, slid down to 5 o'clock, and we're reclaiming our our time now, since the president is not doing his press conferences in the afternoon. So you can catch us at 3 o'clock next week. And I will tell you that we have a very special guest. We're a travel show. Folks are not traveling as much, so we're kind of picking out some things to highlight. Next week, we're going to talk to Richard Lewis from the Music Circus and Broadway Sacramento. Richard and his family have been involved in theater in Sacramento for over 60 years. We're going to give him a lot of time and a lot of leeway. You're going to hear a wonderful story and hear what their situation is right now and how you can help. And so Richard Lewis will be our guest next week. Tom, we're going to take a minute here and remember an old friend, anybody who's been involved in radio, who has been involved in senior softball in Sacramento in the last 40 years. Lou Coppola had his hand in a lot of pots, and you had the opportunity, Tom, to work with him. Lou passed away here just recently, and I just couldn't, because Lou had a lot to do with me getting into buying advertising on the radio and stuff like that. I have some great memories. I know you worked with Lou for a long time at KCRA and KGNR. You must have some stories.
Oh, do I? You know, Lou and I met in the early 70s, nearly 40 years ago, when he was the sales guy at KCRA Radio, which was owned by the same people that own KCRA TV. Lou is a fabulous guy, loves his family, and was very, very energetic, and just a lot of fun to be around. A lot of people might remember Lou was the voice of Capital Nursery for a long time, did all of their ads, which was one of his clients as well. Lou was extremely creative. He could sell ice to the Eskimos, one of those kind of guys. And one of the stories I remember most was, we had a client, and a lot of people remember Lou Labonte's. It was a little breakfast place along Highway 80 in the Auburn area. And Lou brought in the grandson of the owner with an attempt to have him sing part of a jingle. Well, the boy was only like 4 years old. And after about 30 minutes and a lot of whining and a lot of crying, we finally were able to get the master take of Fill Her Up at Lou Labonte's, and the patience that Lou had with this boy was pretty amazing. But anyway, Lou and I worked together there, and he was with KCTC for a lot of years.
Uh-huh.
Huge fan of the River Cats, just huge in the community, and a wonderful family. His son is in television. Betty is a wonderful gal, and she's still around, and we want to say hi to Betty, and our thoughts are with you. Mark?
But Lou, big in ballroom dancing, all of the big bands for years and years and years in Sacramento, all of those big music of your life. You broadcast that for a long time. Lou was a huge baseball fan, voice of the Solons for a long time. Just really an iconic Sacramento guy. I mean, really was involved in a lot of things. And the other thing about Lou was, I can't remember ever hearing a bad thing about Lou. Any place that he had his fingers in a lot of pots, knew a lot of people, but everybody was always very positive about him.
You got it. Well, we'll miss you, Lou, and a good friend of mine, Buzz Holmes, who also passed away recently, was the owner of California Backyard. We were kind of the three amigos. We would get together for a lunch on a regular basis with the thought that we need to do this now, because you never know when you may not have an opportunity to do it in the future. And with that, people take that to heart. Spend time with the people you love as much time as you can.
Well, thank you all for the pleasure of your company this afternoon. Dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, my friends. We'll see you then. Stay well.